Welcome in, everybody. It's Kostaki Economopoulos, the host and CEO of All Pro Lines, the podcast and brand. Thanks for being here. Normally, I'm super conscious about ambient noise. And I was sitting here. I was going to go turn off the air conditioner. And I'm dripping sweat while the air conditioner is at full blast. It is 98 degrees in Los Angeles as I speak right now. The heat wave will end tonight, according to forecasts. Tomorrow, the highs will be back in the 80s. We've been in the hundreds every day for the last few days in a row. And then we'll be back in the 70s on Wednesday. So back to LA normalness on Wednesday. It's very hard to get sympathy about LA weather. Don't expect any. Just want to apologize about the distant ambient noise. It was impossible to survive without the air conditioner at this point. And breaking news, for those of you watching live, that just came in on my phone. Christian McCaffrey is inactive for the game tonight, Niners-Jets, ruining fantasy hopes and dreams all over the land. Boy, they don't care about our fantasy teams, that's for sure. It looked like for sure he was going to play. And most people expected a big old CMC game out of him tonight. So it goes. Well, week one's in the books, I got to say, off the top. It was a thrill just to be a football fan again and just like sit. 7 hours of commercial-free football starts now. Oh, just seeing Scott Hansen's mug and watching the colors and the storylines all just spin past the stats and the great plays and the incredible hits and the cool strategies and the blocks and the I love it. I love all of it. It's so fun. Survivor pools were smashed. The only team that had a big spread was the Bengals to win over the Patriots. They lost. The survivor pool that I'm in, about 60% of the pool. It's a big pool. It's like 50, 60 people. More than half of them picked the Bengals to win. So it's a double strike pool, but still, that is a tough way to start. I picked the Seahawks because I was like, I don't know. I'm not picking with all these other mooks. If something goes wrong, it's going to be good for me. And that's what happened. Well, we got cops chasing people in the heat. All right. A lot of Steelers fans in Atlanta, I noticed. The Falcons saw the terrible towels and got confused and played terribly. You know what I'm saying? There's a little joke tease for you. All right, let's do some housekeeping and then we'll do some jokes. Boise, Twin Falls this week, Thursday and Friday, heading to Idaho. Then I'm headed to Indiana, Ferdinand and Belterra. The Belterra one is the Ron Sexton Memorial Show with some great comics, Bob Zaney and Jimmy Schubert among them. If you get a chance, if you're drivable at all to the south part of Indiana, come to that show. It's going to be awesome. Up next on the docket, Shelbyville, Kokomo, Farmington, New Mexico, then Janesville, Wisconsin, a couple of other Wisconsin dates that haven't been announced yet, but that will be soon. I'm also doing Niles, Michigan, and Louisville coming up. All that's at Kostaki.com. You can find that stuff. Underdog Fantasy. We got friends in Underdog Fantasy. They are the best in the world at the best ball tournaments and the best ball stuff. It's not too late to jump in there and do a draft. If you got Puka Nacua and Christian McCaffrey on your team and you're pissed about your regular fantasy team, get in there and do a draft. Cleanse your palate. BetMGM also has some preposterous great offer. They'll return your first losing bet up to like $1,500 or something. It's a promotion to get you signed up and get you in there. Both of those offers will match up to $100 on Underdog for you. Both of those offers are available in the link tree on the All Pro Line social media pages. Brian Miller's my guest today. Last week we had a guest. I got a couple notes that he was a little, self-involved and pointed with me. I didn't really see it that way, but we did get off to a weird start. I was discombobulated and he was, I don't know if he was just trying to be funny and it was a little terse or I don't know. It was a little weird. Go back and listen. Let me know what you think. Kostocki.com@gmail.com. Write me a note. Tell me what you think. He's a great comic and a nice guy and an incredibly accomplished comic. So I had a lot of stuff I wanted to talk to him about. But, you know, I had a little bit of a, I got a little frustrated with it too. So anyway, it's one time. It's one moment in time. It's fine. We did have a cool talk. There was about a 20-minute period in there where we were, it was a meaty talk for comedy nerds. So if you missed that and want that kind of content, go back and listen for that. Bad news probably for most of the hardcore listeners, and mixed news for me. We are going to go to a once a month format for the foreseeable future. I have a lot on my plate right now. We've looked at doing this podcast in a slightly different way, a few different ways. Haven't landed on an answer that works yet. So I don't want to stop doing it, but I'm out of time. So I'm going to do it once a month, first Mondays for the foreseeable future. Keep this baby alive and figure out what's next for it. It might be me returning to do it more or less full time again, every week during the season. And it might be handing it off to somebody else. And there's, several other sort of in-between choices available as well. So I just want to be open with you guys. And Frank, apologies to those of you who are disappointed. I will still be around. And you can also write me a note, kostocki.com@gmail.com, if you got input on that front as well. If you got thoughts and whatever, I'd love to hear from you guys. All right, let's do a few jokes, some of which were written by Brian Miller. And then we'll bring in Brian Miller.
The 2-minute drill.
I'm from Atlanta. I'm from Atlanta. I'm used to hot, and my dad's from South Greece, and I was born in Florida, and I like it hot, but I'm hot. This hundreds is ridiculous, 100 degrees. And we're in a place where it never gets this hot. So, like, my place doesn't have built-in air conditioning. I have, like, a crazy little wall unit that I have sort of jimmied over there. I only use it about once every 2 years. Because even though it gets warm here during the day, it cools off at night. But not this week. It's hot. All right. I mentioned being from Atlanta. I am so disappointed with the Falcons' first game. I know it's the Falcons. I know you have to have tempered expectations, but criminy, what are you doing? Put a product on the field that's fun to watch for the love of all that's good and reasonable and decent in the world. This team sucks to watch. Ugh, we got a new coach and a new quarterback and a new offensive scheme and a new offensive coordinator and new defensive players. I really wanted something new, and they suck. Ugh. The Falcons aren't just terrible. They're Falcon terrible. Same old Falcons. You can't Falcon snap the Falcon ball into the Falcon man in Falcon motion. Get your shit together. Ugh. Refuse to Falcon block TJ Watt. Get these mother Falcon snakes off this mother Falcon plane. The big question for the Falcons this week was, how are you going to stop TJ Watt? And the Falcons answered quite definitively, durr. There were a couple of plays. He was unblocked. Really? That's your game plan for the best defensive player in the league? Infuriating. All right, but the big news nationally was, of course, not the Falcons. Nobody cares. It was Tyreek Hill detained by the police. The weird part had nothing to do with child support. That's weird. You have the right to remain celibate. If you are unable to remain celibate, a vasectomy will be provided at no cost to you. I would have gotten away with it if it weren't for my 27 meddling kids. And then Tyreek went out and scored an 80-yard touchdown. When he's running like that, does he imagine he's running from the cops or his baby mamas? Keep you focused. By the way, good thing that they got him when he was seated. Imagine a pudgy cop trying to catch Tyreek Hill. He did the arrest celebration. Of course he did. I'm looking forward to the moments of conception celebrations. It's got what, 37 of those? Tyreek said he's considering litigation. He needs to consider contraception, castration, tubal ligation, one of the other Asians, try vasectomy, rhythm method, coitus interruptus, anal, something, Tyreek. Do something different. Saints 47, Panthers 10. I'd say they got boat race, but it was more like one team had a boat and the other team was swimming in the Paralympics. Plus, a boat race sounds like it would be fun to watch. Panthers got their pants beat off. They look more like the Pink Panthers. You know what I'm saying? Well, that should be their theme music this year. Da-na-na-na. Oh, I said, did that badly. I suck at act outs. Remember when the Panthers were an expansion team? They were worried that the gangs were going to embrace their imagery. No, not a thing. Turns out gangs like winners. Their logo is less of a gang sign and more of a surrender flag at this point. The Black Panthers have filed suit for defamation. It's hurting their brand, actually. Even some Cougars are complaining that the Panthers have hurt their reputation. It's kind of it's a big cat, you see. It's they might be the worst team in the league. Usually when Carolina ranks this low in something, it's infant mortality. It's undue influence by tobacco. All right. Let's not shit on Carolina for too long, shall we? All right. The Giants are wore throwbacks, celebrating an era before they blew it by letting Saquon walk. You shouldn't be allowed to wear throwback jerseys if you can't throw the ball. That seems like a fair rule, right? It's even disrespectful to the other Giants teams that actually wore those uniforms before. You're going to besmirch those unis with this team? Saquon, by the way, looked amazing as an Eagle. Then the offseason, New York decided to let him walk. Selling Manhattan for beads was a better decision. Because at least then you get the shiny beads. The Giants just have Daniel Jones. We had our first ever NFL game, Brazil, Packers-Eagles. The Eagles were ready, man. They spent the second half of last season getting waxed. So they were ready. The turf was really slippery. Usually when people from Wisconsin are falling down like that, it's from beer. It's more of a traditional Brazilian grass, by the way. That sounds like something you could buy at a dispensary around here. Packers quarterback Jordan Love's going to miss about a month with an injury. Wisconsin hasn't been this sad since they heard about lactose intolerance. You're supposed to leave your heart in San Francisco, not your love in Sao Paulo. Jordan Love, he got hurt down there. Love is so fragile. At least the Packers fans don't have to give up half of their shit. It sucks the Packers are going to be without their quarterback for a while. Aaron Rodgers made you hate him first, so it was fine by the time he left. You know? And that whoosh that you feel this week, that's Packers and Eagles fans canceling their Peacock subscriptions. Peacock! Suck my Peacock! I thought I was going to be done with having to get another streaming service to watch a fucking thing. Oh, so annoying. All right. Some of these great jokes were written by Brian Miller. You know him. You love him. He's a great comic in Minneapolis. He's a great follow and all the things. Let's get him in here. Brian Miller, everybody.
Well, hey, you really don't know the Pink Panther song, do you?
Yeah, really.
You started doing it, and I was like,
it doesn't seem hard.
Yeah, apparently it was. That was that was impressive. It reminds me of when Job does a chicken impression in Arrested Development, and he does the thing, and it's nothing like a chicken. It's funny, though. Anytime we write together, and I'll be like, oh, it'd be funny if you did, like, one line of a song or something. And you're always like, no, I can't do that.
I can't. No, it's not good.
I just thought you just didn't want to do it. I didn't know you actually couldn't do it.
No, preference. You thought I was just being stubborn. No. Fully aware of my inabilities. Hey, pal, how's life?
Not too bad. How's it going?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm happy to have football season back. I'm happy the heat wave is about to break.
It's nice and warm here. I alas, I only saw part of the Vikings game.
Would you like to tell us why? I didn't ask you this off air. Are we going to discuss this?
I'll keep it vague.
All right. The floor is yours, my friend.
I had a medical issue yesterday.
But comical.
Well, for you, perhaps.
Not for you?
No. It was a problem of which I became very mildly aware. This seems like maybe something to, what's that? And then Sunday, we went from that to, oh, no. So I had to go to urgent care on Sunday. I went way before the Vikings started, but I was there waiting for 3 hours. So at least I wandered away from the urgent care place, and I watched part of the game at a Mexican restaurant near the urgent care, and then came back. So I almost had a beer because I was like, this is going to suck. But I didn't, and I kind of wish it. But I was like, you can't go into urgent care smelling like beer, right? They're not going to treat you the same. So I went in and had to have it's a common skin condition. Very common skin condition caused by nothing communicable. Very common.
You didn't do anything to earn this?
It can happen to anybody. It can happen anywhere on your body.
Where did it happen?
A very delicate area. The sort of area that when someone says, well, we can take care of this now. And you go, okay. Pulls out a big needle. You go, oh. And then the needle happens. And you're not happy. And then she pulls out another little tube. And I go, oh, are you going to is it like a syringe? What's going to go on? And then she flicked it. And it was an X-Acto knife.
Oh.
And so I just, I got X-Acto knifed. And the last place you would ever want to get X-Acto knifed.
Your eyeball?
Actually, you know what? I think I'd be more freaked out by the eyes. I am freaked out easily by eyes, but this was the one you could see happening. I don't want to get graphic. I'll just say it was pretty intense. And let's just say that before I left, there was blood on her shoulder. I was like, hey, doc, you got a little. She's like, oh, yeah, I got a little.
I'm sorry to laugh, but that is a crazy image.
It was a lot.
So you're okay? Everything's all right?
Presumably, okay. I'm fine. It was because it was a very common. Like she was like, "Oh yeah, we get these all the time." She's like, "Unfortunately for you, not usually, not always, anyway."
I have so many questions. Did you care that it was a she?
Didn't have an option. Just wanted it fixed. Would have taken a robot or like a really smart dog, like Air Bud, if you got into surgery. I mean, I wanted this thing gone. Ultimately preferred, I think. Because she was cool. She had, the right vibe. It was just like, she's like, look, I'm not shy. I'm like, I ain't shy. It's like, this sucks. She's like, sucks for you. And then we just took care of it, you know?
It's funny. This brings back a memory. I had a unusually super cool female doctor. I had some penis thing back in the day. And it was, I remember.
Title for an album.
I remember thinking almost afterwards, like, oh, I guess that could have been really weird. And it wasn't, you know, like she was great.
No, I kind of prefer women doctors. My primary is a lady. This would be the one that you'd think of where you're like, if you were going to go dude, this is pretty much up there. I think I want a dude for butt stuff though.
How much butt stuff are you doing?
You know, I don't know. I don't want to, you feel bad enough. Any butt stuff, you feel bad for the guy. Like, I'm sorry. This sucks for you. Like, she felt bad for me in this scenario. She was right. But I feel bad for them. I'm like, yeah. It's uncomfortable, but you're back there. You know,
yeah,
I'm up north. I'm, you know, things are sunny up here. So I just wouldn't want to put a lady through that.
Your face being Philadelphia in this scenario.
Yeah, I suppose. Enjoy Arizona, man. It's hot down there.
Arizona, that's...
Yeah. But no, she was like super cool. And it was funny, you know, I was so nervous to the whole thing for obvious reasons that I was kind of motor mouthing. And I mentioned that I did stand up, which I usually don't do. And she was real cool with that. And then she's like, do you know Mark Poulos? I'm like, I love Mark Poulos. And we talked about Mark Poulos for a little while. She's like, oh yeah, I knew his wife.
You have really a mutual funny. Comedian friend?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Not that big of a city.
Oh, I guess not. Holy shit. That's crazy.
It was a long day. So yeah, I missed them. I kept up the Vikings game on my phone. And then a dude next to me who looked near death was watching on his. I kind of looked over his dying shoulder for a little while. It's all part of it. So it was a good one, man. I mean, it's hard to get too exciting excited because beating the Giants or the Panthers is like, well, yeah, okay. You know.
Right.
But they did it in a pretty, from everything that I saw, pretty consistent, pretty methodical. But, you know, wasn't like they weren't the beneficiaries of a bunch of like total screw ups or
right,
you know,
right. He didn't like, fluke into it. Right.
No, Darnold looked kind of like baby Cousins, where you're like solid game manager without quite Kirk's upside, which you might never get to see, but I did get to see some of Kirk's upside.
What the fuck? I'm so disappointed with my team. My team is supposed to be pretty good, and your team is supposed to be fucking terrible.
Yeah.
And your team looked all right, and my team looked fucking terrible.
I think they'll both wind up with similar records by the end of the year, unfortunately, which I realize is a bit of a letdown for the Falcons.
8-9, 9-8.
Yeah, yeah. I think the Falcons might win one more, maybe. I don't know. You know, especially, unfortunately, I don't think the Vikings played Green Bay until deeper in the season, because catching them without Love is quite the mitzvah.
No kidding.
You know, yeah. I edit. I do some editing for a sports website, zonecoverage.com. And we have a Packers vertical, and I edit a lot of Packers articles. And the number one thing every Packers writer has been saying, the number one thing they pitch, the number one thing they want to write about for months was, yeah, but shouldn't we have somebody as a backup? You know, like,
right.
If you have a team that's like a legit Super Bowl contender, it's not like it's the Jordan Love show. He's real good, but they're a good team.
Yeah.
Why would you not pay Ryan Tannehill a few million dollars or, you know, I don't know, a Minshew or a Keenum or wherever these guys, I think Keenum's out now, but, you know, one of these guys, somebody who's like at least, you know, like a Tyrod Taylor circa 2018 type guy.
Is it still the same guy? It's Gutekunst or whatever?
Yeah, Gutekunst.
So the public perception on him is like the craziest roller coaster in the history of the universe.
Totally true. Right?
It's like, what an idiot. He didn't help Rodgers win. Like, oh, we got Love. Oh, it was pretty good.
He's the smartest man alive. Yeah.
Malik Willis, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Right.
It just seems like such a lateral move. Like, wouldn't you rather go with Sean Clifford, who's been in your system? I mean, like, if you get two bad quarterbacks, go with the bad quarterback who's been at practice more.
I don't know Sean Clifford, but I know Malik Willis, and I don't. My guess, as we sit here today, as a somewhat casual, interested observer, neither one of those guys are top 70 quarterbacks on the earth.
No, I mean, it's not. It's
how
not
do the, they not have a better backup? What are they doing?
Willis is a fine like three or a fine two if you're on a terrible team that runs a lot or something, you know. But
right.
or you're in a transition year. You go, you know what? We're already kind of half tanking it anyway. We don't want to spend a bunch of money. You know, we're being frugal because we know this isn't our year.
Right.
But everybody kind of knows the Packers kind of need to be good now because Love's contract's going to get big pretty soon because they sat on him for so long. Well, it already is big, right? He's getting it.
Oh,
so
big,
they're going to start feeling the consequences of that. And, you know, they're a Super Bowl contender if they play well. No question.
But without this guy for a month, that team's going to suck.
Yeah, I mean, they're not so good. It's not like the Mahomes Chiefs, you know, of like 18, 19 or something where you go like, oh, they could lose 3 of 4 and then just rock the back half of the schedule and still have a great record. You know, like they're still a team that probably was going to lose at least 4 or 5 games. So you toss 2 or 3 extras on top at the beginning of the season that they might have won, and all of a sudden, you're getting close to 500.
Yeah, that's right. Because if they lost the first one, even though they played well and the game was fun and it could have won.
Yeah, easily.
So they're 0-1 already. And then they're probably going to lose whatever games Love's not in, maybe win one of them.
Yeah, I think that'd be if I was a Packer fan and you told me they're missing him for 5 games, I'm hoping for 1 and 4. I mean, 2 and 3 would be pipe dream.
Yeah, they're not going to be 2 and 3.
I think so. I mean, it's really hard to play with no quarterback. And Josh Jacobs looks fine, but like, well, they're going to stack the box and Jacobs is going to be stifled. And I don't know. It seems, you know, I think Willis is probably better with his legs than his arms. So you go, all right, well, let's have half of a safety and one linebacker and they can each have a cigarette in the back of the field while we take care of things up here.
We'll see.
Yeah. But the Vikings, you know what? I would be rooting for Sam.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Darnold, even if he wasn't the Vikings quarterback. Because there always was that, like, he never really got a chance.
Yeah,
with, like, a decent team. He really didn't.
Throwing him in terrible situations, new system and bad teams and... Right. Yeah. So hit this. Yeah. Hey, maybe he has a nice little chapter. Good for him.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a world where he's like a less dynamic Alex Smith, which sounds like a real backhanded compliment, but you know,
it does.
But Alex Smith had some pretty good years.
Oh yeah.
You know, I don't know if you told me Darnold on a good team had a 12-win season. I don't know. It might be possible. I don't think it's crazy. It's not like Zach Wilson or somebody where you're like, nah, we checked.
Right. Ron Milford's in here. Ewan, hey guys, thanks for coming. Dwayne, Ryan Chambers chimes in with Atlanta has two good quarterbacks. Why are they still hot trash? All right.
It is weird though to have, like, I mean, it can't, you know, the old cliche, if you have two quarterbacks, you have it's such a cliche. I've never seen it so obviously a problem here. Like, why would you pay Cousins? I know it's been talked about a million times, but I still wake up in the middle of the night going, why would they give him that big contract if they knew they were going to get Penny?
Well, here's the thing. They think this is optimistic. I made this mistake with the Dynasty fantasy team last year. I thought the team was going to be good. So when I was making a trade, I was like, well, my first round pick's not going to be good anyway. So it's no problem.
Sure.
My team ended up sucking. And, Malik Nabers was the pick. It's like one of the best prospects.
Oh, you guys could have had Nabers.
Recent history. Yeah. So he's gone because I thought it was going to be end of the first round, right? I think it's the same thing. The Falcons don't think they're going to be picking early again, so they want to make sure they get the quarterback thing sorted out. They love Penix. They worked with him. I kind of came around on it eventually.
Right.
Hey, maybe they could trade Kirk Cousins to Cleveland.
God. You know, I kind of want to root for the Browns just for all the historical Browns reasons. And every time I'm a running play, I'm rooting for the Browns. But as soon as the ball is in Deshaun Watson's hands, I'm just like, hit him.
You can't
him down.
Root for him. You can't. It's hilarious. I can't. I feel the same way.
At this point, even if you didn't know anything about his personal life, if you were nothing, if you were completely tabula rasa, you just watched the football and right. You knew about his contract, you'd be like, this guy is so overhyped. The last 2 years, he looks so bad, you know, like there'd be nothing about right. him that would make you root for him, you know, just on the field, you know. I mean, it's wild.
Not to mention all the other things.
So just impossible to root for the guy.
I feel the way about Cleveland that I do about Russia. Like, I like Russians, but I hate Putin. Like, you know, I get an Uber with a Russian driver, and I'm, you know, it's like, Russian guy. I like this guy, you know.
Yeah.
But you can't
talk about Tarkovsky movies and Dostoevsky novels. And,
that's what we
stuff,
do.
You know?
Yeah. That's what I do.
But yeah, but he's in charge. You know, it's like, it's the main guy. It's not just one of the guys. It's the guy.
Yeah. They're so fucked. And there was some article that I didn't get a chance to look at. It's like, is the Deshaun Watson trade the worst trade in NFL history? Like, what's even second place?
Yeah.
I don't even, what Russell Wilson, I guess you could discuss.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's some historical, we gave up, you know, Joe Montana for a pack of beans or something, but I'm sure there's something like that.
Well, the Herschel Walker one is the one that people...
Herschel Walker mentioned. Is the one that came to my mind, too.
But the Herschel Walker trade is nothing compared to the Deshaun Watson trade.
Yeah, the guaranteed money...
So worse.
And the draft picks, and knowing he was going to be out for all those games. And also, right, 2 years on the shelf is a long time.
And he's a
time.
Terrible face of the franchise.
Yeah, it's like, you can't put his face on the tickets.
And he turns out that he's not even good at football anymore. It's like,
yeah,
all like of the strikes.
It really is like a really big Twilight Zone episode, you know, where the devil's like, oh, I'll give you your Deshaun Watson, you know, and you're like, oh, I should have specified like he was before.
Oh.
But it's hard to feel bad for him. It's like, well, you guys, you knew what you were doing. You made the deal. You thought he'd be good and it would paper over everything.
Right. Yeah. Yes, that's right. You're right.
They foolishly assumed the good, clearly. Right, right. Like with that guaranteed money, with those picks, they thought, look, the one thing we know is he's awesome.
Right.
Which was, he looked really good for a couple of years there, but like, he didn't look like Patrick Mahomes, and 2 years off is a long time. You know?
Not to mention, in your prime, three first round picks,
guaranteed money. I mean, it's the house. I mean, it's hard to imagine Cleveland managing to be all that good for several years now.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's really something.
All right, let's do this little segment we do. I very often go chalk in this situation, but I'm going to go a little contrarian today because I've been listening to some people bitching about the rookie quarterbacks. Well, I say no. I give kudos to the rookie quarterbacks. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix. None of them played great, but they all played in their first ever NFL game against the biggest, fastest, scariest guys in the world. And they say it's the toughest job, the most important job, the steepest learning curve of anything in sports. These are children relative to the world, and they're handling all this pressure with grace. And they, in each case, they gave their team's fan base a spark of like, we might be okay. So that's all you can ask for. Game one, like the Bears actually won their game. Bo Nix looked way better than I thought he was going to look. Jaden Daniels is like, holy shit, this team might be good in a couple years. And Caleb Williams, I mean, we saw some flashes in the preseason. He's going to be fine. These are stories that are going to be fun to watch. So kudos to these guys for starting off their careers with some flashes and some grace. It's an impressive thing to pull off.
Well, interesting you say that. I was actually going to do the same thing. I'll reverse and go back to a little more chalk. I already talked about Darnold, so we already did Darnold. I was going to say Caleb Williams as well, because he didn't play very well and they won. And I really liked the way he seemed to handle, like, he's like, I'm happy I won. I'm taking it all in. I got to get a lot better. It was a good bad night day for him. You know, it was like, if your bad day is you learned a ton and you won anyway. But also a little taps to Caleb Williams for maybe he's probably going to be good. But as a Vikings fan, I'm sneaking hoping he turns out to be a huge bust. And I hope this is actually a harbinger of him just being terrible. It could happen. But I don't think so, but it could happen. So I'll go Saquon. That's a good call, Ryan. I'll go, though, a guy that is so good that people forget how good he is, T.J. Watt. The Steelers win the game on 6 field goals, which is bonkers. With Justin Fields, speaking of Bears who turned out to fizzle, holy smokes. But T.J. Watt's stat line was just like, astonishing, and you're like, oh, you're captaining the defense that makes you win this game. And he's just one of those guys that, like, I don't even watch Pittsburgh games that often, and every time I turn it on, I'm just like, oh, it's the TJ Watt show. And he just did it again, and the kicker kind of ironically gets the credit. Not ironically, I guess, you know, he did kick 6 field goals, but you don't win on a 6 field goal game without your defense playing great. And that Pittsburgh defense is medium at best without TJ Watt, but when he is in there, man,
I wish he was on my team, because that was just every – I mean, I've watched – I ended – later on in the game, I got interested in seeing what was going on. So I pulled up the Falcons game and I had red zone. But even before that, like every time red zone went to Atlanta, it was like T.J. Watt smothering somebody. It was like, holy fuck. And some of the times he was unblocked. Like, what kind of fucking game plan is that?
Yeah. It's like, oh, he's only just the scary. He kind of is the scariest guy in like a combination of athleticism way. You know, he's not as maybe as like, I mean, he's intimidating, but just like he just pulls stuff off. You're like, how did you do that? Quick turn on a dime. You know, just instinct. He's so good.
Yeah, he's good.
And he's really fun to watch play. I mean, I think at this point, if you're a Steelers fan, you're kind of, you know, usually like, you know, people make popcorn when the team's playing, play a little defense, maybe, you know, and come back to see the quarterback. If I'm the Steelers, I'm watching the defensive snaps and I'm refilling the beer.
Right.
During the offense. I've seen three and out before, okay?
All right, let's do this.
But now it's time for which comes first. Oh, yes, it's time for which comes first. Now tell me, will this happen before that happens? It's time for which comes first.
All right, Brian Miller, which comes first? A Giants new quarterback, GM, or coach?
Oh. That's good.
That team just got into some hot water this week. Holy shit. How quickly everyone's like, we're going to blow everything up.
I mean, people were already pretty unhappy going into it. It was very much like, all right, we're worried about one specific thing. Oh, look, it's exactly the thing we were worried about. I'll rank them. Number three, GM. I'm not saying they won't get rid of everybody. GM is the safest. I think Dable... I think they'd be less likely to fire Dable in week three than they would be to bench Jones in week three.
Who's their backup? I should have looked this up.
But I think that would require them.
Oh, it's Drew Lock. That could be
fun.
Oh,
yeah, Drew Lock. You know what? You could do worse with your backups. And maybe they sign? I don't know what their cap situation is or anything, but maybe, you know, can they sign a Tannehill type? Do they have that room? Although, what's the point? They kind of suck anyway. At this point, you're better off to just ride it off, play Drew Lock for a while, grind it out, back to the drawing board, because you know they're saddled with that Jones contract for a while. They could maybe dump him somewhere, but they certainly need to draft his replacement ASAP. And you probably can't afford to pay somebody who's all that good, have them both on. I don't know how long his guarantee goes for. I think they got at least another year on that thing.
I think the phrase you keep hearing, I haven't looked at it closely, but I think the phrase I keep hearing is they can get out of it after this year is kind of what people are saying.
Well, then.
Now, I don't know what they mean by out of it.
Right.
But not like in Cleveland. It's like $170 million cap hit or something crazy.
Oh, it's not that bad. It's like he's so bad, but not even remote to close. And you know what's really – The ghost of this to me as a Vikings fan is knowing that the only reason he got that contract was because he had one good game and it happened to be against the Vikings in the playoffs and it knocked us out and we were decent and we really should not have lost that game. And it's like, we lost to Daniel Jones. It'd be like, we lost the Nathan Peterman game or something, you know, just a name you don't want attached to a loss. We lost to Baker Mayfield. Hey, he's got some good days, you know, but Daniel Jones.
All right. So, but they're going to fire we're going to get a new quarterback before the other two?
If you're saying, do they bring in a completely new human being or do they bench him for Drew Lock? I think they bench him for Drew Lock.
Yeah. That sounds like the most likely.
Cause I just don't think they might fire Dable midseason. Could happen.
I would flip it. I think because we saw the show of them deciding not to go with Saquon, which is blowing up in their faces, and to go with Daniel. We saw it on fucking Hard Knocks. Everyone knows the story, and you could see the GM, Joe Schorn or whatever. He's sitting there, and he's like, well, you don't want to pay a $12 million injured running back when you can, you know, we get a $40 million quarterback, you know. It just is so clearly the wrong way to think about the whole story. I think he might be a surprise fire. I definitely would rank him ahead of the coach.
See, I think he's definitely in line for a firing, but I don't know if I see them firing the GM early in the season. You know, the damage is kind of done. You just want to get rid of him in the back half of the season. The same thing for the coach. I think they're all in danger. They're all in great, great danger. But I mean, here's the other thing you don't know about Dable. It's for all we know, and maybe it's on Hard Knocks. I don't know. I didn't watch that season because it was the Giants. But maybe Dable's in the back going, are you guys sure about this whole Daniel Jones thing? Like, we don't know how bought in he is. Maybe it's the GM and the owner
who are more. And obviously, we're only seeing what they were willing to say on camera.
Of course. So if he was super skeptical and then they're losing largely because of Jones, then I could see ownership having maybe a little more leash. But also, I just, the Brian Daboll experiment just doesn't feel like it worked out in New York. That one seems destined to end.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, let's segue nicely into our last segment.
All right, kids, put your thinking caps on. It's quiz time.
This isn't even a quiz. It's just an embarrassing thing to say about a guy because I find it astounding. Since signing his four-year, $160 million deal, did you see this?
No. I saw one before the season, so it's only gotten worse now.
Daniel Jones has thrown touchdowns to the Giants or other teams more?
Oh, no. I mean, I got to assume I know where we're going with this one, and I got to speak, it's not the Giants. I had not heard that, by the way.
Since that, these are the numbers. He only played in six games last year, so he signed the contract right before the season, right?
So, sure. So this was game seven for him.
He played five games, had a neck injury. Then he played week nine, tore his ACL. During those games, and then this past week, he's thrown a total of two touchdowns to the Giants. Whew. And he has three pick sixes.
That's so bad.
I feel so bad for the guy.
I will say the Giants looked, I thought, kind of holistically bad against the Vikings. Too. I mean, it wasn't just Daniel Jones.
Right.
I mean, it was a lot Daniel Jones. But it's not all on him, but like,
right.
Ooh,
it's getting ugly fast. It's funny how quickly it gets. Like I saw there was a headline today. Is it time to bench Kirk Cousins? Like give him a minute. Like what?
Well, yeah. And Kirk famously a guy at least twice a year has a real dog of a game. Like when Kirk's bad, he's bad. He's bad. Right. Big moments. It happens.
Right.
As a Vikings fan, especially in his better years, I thought, you know, you get a lot more really good ones than you do bad ones.
Yeah.
And so I think you just take a couple. I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, different in a lot of ways, but like being a Packer fan back in the day with Favre, if you go, well, it was one of them four interception days. We'll have fun next week, you know?
And I'm definitely of the, you know, take it easy boys school, but it is when you see the first game, you know, like you're like, oh, this isn't what we were promised at all. Oh, this isn't any of the hopes and dreams we had for the new quarterback, new offensive coordinator, new coach, new regime, new defensive players. It's none of it's here.
I also think I think the main thing to take away from week one is a poor predictor of the rest of the season, because especially with the way the preseason works now, where none of these guys play. I mean, for the last couple of 3 years, think about all the weird sloppy shit we've seen in week one teams that people get all worried, and then they lock back in week
coaches
three.
Should watch this shit and straighten themselves out, play their starters at least a half somewhere in the preseason. What are you doing?
I agree. I mean, think about it. If you know, this seems like a Dan Campbell kind of move. It's like, I'm gonna play my boys because I need the work, but like, do that and then, you know, just basically steal your week one game just because you're more poised against whoever it happens to be, especially if you've got a tough week one. If you've got, like, if you're playing the Niners in week one, there's a world where you go, you know what, let's play the not totally, but let's really work our starters out in the last game or two, or the first two games or something of the preseason, and let's really try to beat, let's try to catch them on their heels a little bit and push them backwards. I mean, if you're playing the Panthers, yes, well, whatever, we can have to play the starters in the game.
Yeah, that's another thing. When you see the Panthers game, you're like, there's no way this team is going to win four games this year. It's hard to even have the tiniest bit of hope. It just seems so terrible.
Well, it's so familiar from how the ways in which they were terrible last year. You know, it's you were terrible. You changed fairly little and you still seem terrible. Like, I think I see where this is going.
They seemed even worse. Like, the Saints aren't the world beater team, but they put up 47 points.
Yeah. I mean,
the Saints are not top 15 teams. They might not be top 20. And they look like, you know, Super Bowl champions against
them. Who deserves a sneaky taps post the tap segment is Taysom Hill. He's not lighting the world on fire, but every time I watch a Saints game, he's doing 15 different things. It's like, it's clearly having a holistic, really significant effect on the offense, even if it's just
coach loves him
much, because it's like one little play here, a blocking play here, he throws a pass on third down, or, you know, here and there. But like, when you kind of put it all together, it's like, how many more games have they won over the last few years because they had him as a gadget.
He lined up as a legit running back a couple times. He'll throw the ball. He'll be a fullback on some plays. He's a wideout sometimes.
Yeah, and it's not just
special
like,
teams.
They don't look like gimmicky plays a lot of times. You're just like, oh, they just have that play and he can do that. And I don't know. That's an offense that's overperformed, I think, relatively since Breeze left. And I got to wonder how much of it is Hill packing it in, you know?
Fantasy dorks kind of hate him because he still qualifies as a tight end.
Oh.
You get all these weird points for having him. But the hate's gone too far. It's not the guy. It's not the guy's fault. Jesus, he's a crazy, you know.
When people get mad about real-life football based on fantasy. Play fantasy. I'm not saying play fantasy if you want. When it's like, oh, I hate so-and-so because he's an amazing football player, but he doesn't tend to make it to the end zone.
Right.
You know, the fullback gets the points. He doesn't get the points. I think the guy who gets 75 yards on the drive, like old boy last night on the Lions, from used to be on the Bears, the running back, Montgomery.
He
had like 65 of the yards on that last drive. And it's like, I mean, he did punch it in, but if he didn't and somebody else did, like, let's not forget that the fantasy football was like an accompaniment to the football.
Yeah, yeah, right.
But in fact, without the football, there would be no fantasy football. So wishing that thing that like the fantasy world would like somehow bend and affect the real football world or to be mad at Taysom Hill, it's like, okay, but that's stupid. Like if he was on your team and he was doing all that stuff, your real team, he'd be like, this rocks.
Believe it or not, we're at the end. Come see me in Idaho this week, everybody. And I got lots of Indiana coming up.
Where are you doing Idaho, by the way?
I'm doing Boise and Twin Falls.
Where at in Boise?
Boise's the lounge at the end of the universe.
I was wondering if that's it. That's a good room, I've heard.
Yeah, do that one. I'll mention you if you haven't done that.
Because I love Boise. You know, I used to work that club. I love that club they had there, Liquid Laughs.
I'm always hooking you up with gigs in Boise.
I know. It's the only way I've ever gotten to Boise.
You haven't gotten there enough to know that you say it with an S sound, not a Z, but maybe somebody
hooked
there enough.
I never noticed that. No one ever corrected me on that one. Usually people jump up your ass. Well, they're so nice in Boise.
That's right.
Boise. With their blue field.
That's right.
And their weird Basque Spanish food that's excellent.
Where do people find you, Brian Miller?
You can find me at Real Brian Miller on Twitter and Funny Brian Miller on Instagram, spelled with a Y, BrianMillerComedy.com. And then I'm going to be in Poison. Later on, I'll be headlining Acme second week of December. But before that, I will be at the American Comedy Company in San Diego the final week of September. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, last end of September. And then in Louisville, back at the Caravan, October, I think it's like 16, 17, 18, right around that zone. So if you're near Louisville,
do that San Diego club. I've walked by it before. It's in a super cool part of town.
I'm looking forward to it. I heard it's a beautiful area. Yeah. I'm opening for Eastmo on those dates.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't book me by myself.
Well, I didn't know because when I was there, it was Dave Attell, but I didn't know if that was typically how they do it or if it's the full range or.
Yeah. I mean, and some of those clubs will have a fellow like me in between Attells and Eastmos or whatever, but you know, maybe I'll make a striking.
That's what you're doing at Acme, right? I saw the name you're with. That's pretty cool.
What up, Danny Gould, you mean? Or
Danny Gould the next night, right?
Yeah. Well, that was totally random. I was running the contest. I headlined that show and I run the whole finals show and we got done with the finals and it was great. And I was talking to Lou and then he said, you know, I'm not 100% sure if Dana has a feature. Usually he brings somebody, but I don't remember signing anybody. Did want to come have a steak and find out. So I came down to Acme just hanging out, and Dana walked in, and I've known him for a while, and he's like, I brought no one. So, boom, Dana Gould.
Nice.
Open for the whole weekend. I think the best writer – I still think he's the best writer in comedy. Well, it's more than just the writing. He's so physical. He incorporates all these elements that you kind of don't think of him as doing, but he totally does. He's really physical in a really graceful way. But me and John DeBoer were sitting in the back of the room watching him, and he's doing these jokes, and we're just turning to each other going, there's no template for that. There's no – I can't see the math in that. Where's
right.
that coming from?
Right, wow. Right. Yeah. Yeah, he's a good one. I wonder if he would be a big star right now if he didn't take the writing sort of side tour for a while.
I'm kind of glad he's not, honestly, in a weird way. I mean, first off, he seems to be doing quite well, so I'm obviously
–
I think he's most interesting when he gets to be his weirdest, nichiest self, and he gets to talk about monster movie. He was doing a Boris Karloff impression and a Criswell impression. I mean, he was doing way old weird stuff, and like, right. I just think it's hard to pull off if you're like, this is your Comedy Central hour, or what, you know what I mean? Maybe he could, but I like that he's just like, I'm going to act, I'm going to do, I'm gonna do exactly what I want to do.
It's yeah,
be, you know, it's just gonna be pure stand up.
For those of you listening and might not know, he went away and wrote on The Simpsons for a decade ish.
Yeah,
and then came back to stand up after that. And he is one of the great ones. He's a comics comic and a really good. He's a good dude too.
Oh yeah, great hang.
Dana Gould, go look him up.
Yeah,
if you're not familiar, we got to run, Brian. Brian Miller, go find him. Come find me. Follow us on All Pro Lines on all the social media platforms. Facebook is where most of the action is. And if you're doing any gaming, use our links. They'll give you those bonuses. Underdog Fantasy and BetMGM. I will talk to you in a month, everybody. In the meantime, write me a note, kostocki.com at gmail.com. Take it easy and enjoy the football. And we'll talk soon.